And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm going to refer to all three of the readings this morning at times, but kind of the hinge verse for the theme that we consider this morning comes from the epistle reading from the book of Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14, as you see it on the screen. And by the way, there's an outline of this message in your bulletin, so don't worry about all the references that I'm going to make. They're all written down for you, and hopefully you can go home later and maybe go through some of that again on your own. But verse 14, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? What an incredible message God brings to us this morning, and to serve the living God. You know, think about looking for a job. And we've all probably been there, done that, right? It's not an easy task, is it? Actually, looking for a job becomes a full-time job in and of itself. You have to put together your resume, right? And, of course, we all probably like to make that look as most impressive as it can be. And we recognize that the people that we interview with, if we get to that stage, they can't see into our hearts and minds. They don't know every aspect of our lives. They don't know things that maybe we wouldn't want anybody else to know about ourselves. You just think of how ugly the political process has gotten, and how there's a goal to dig up everything that can be found on an individual that's running for office. Well, God knows everything. Nothing is hidden from him, but we can go with confidence with our resume and through the interview process, hoping that what people see on that and with our character and meeting us, that they're going to take us on for whatever the position is that we would like to serve. But imagine applying for a position with God. And you have to put together your resume to submit to the Almighty Living God, knowing that God knows every single detail about your life as he does about mine. And then in light of that, also to know God's character, also to know when God calls us into a position, that God demands perfection. Nothing less than perfection. And we see it in the Old Testament reading this morning in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. Look what God says to his people then, preparing them to enter into the promised land. You shall love the Lord your God with what? All. Not just part of, not just a significant amount of, but God says with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. God commands us to be all in with him as he calls us to follow him. And that really means to cherish and to adore God more than anything else. God is number one by God's standard to be in our lives, and to gladly devote all, your entire life, to him. You know, when the Apostle Paul was in Athens speaking to that think tank of the day, had that wonderful opportunity to share the gospel. But in the message that Paul brought in Acts 17, we find at verses 28 and 29, look what Paul says to those who were there to listen. Speaking of God, that's who him is. In him we live and move and have our being. Paul is describing an all-in, if you will, in being God's people. This is what this relationship, by God's desire, by his design, is to look like, that in him we live and move and have our being. And then Paul goes on to say, for we are indeed his offspring. God has called us into his incredible family, and we are to be like the one who has given us this life. Wow, what a resume. As God lays out the demands of the resume, he desires that we love him with total sincerity and that it's without reservation and that we give him our entire life, all of our faculties, everything God demands of us as his people. And so we get back to writing that resume. What's your resume looking like thus far as you're getting ready to present it to God? And remember, unlike a human interviewing you, God knows everything. Even as you're going through the process with him, he knows your every thought and feeling. He knows your motivation behind what you are doing. What's your resume look like? Well, it's interesting what Jesus, what the scribe says in response to Jesus speaking of the greatest commandments. In the Gospel of Mark 12, verse 33, we heard these words a moment ago. To love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. There it is again. Consistently throughout Scripture, we see that God is commanding that we be all in with him. Now, the Israelites were getting ready to go into the promised land. After they had rebelled against God, that generation, for the most part, not allowed to go in. They've been wandering out in the wilderness for 40 years. Now they are on the other side of the Jordan. They're ready to cross. And through Moses, God is giving them this information to prepare them for entry. And in verse 4 of our Old Testament reading from Deuteronomy 6, look what God emphasizes. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. God knew the vulnerabilities of his people. He knew the land they were going into worshiped many different gods, little g. They had many idols, and God was putting his own people in the midst of all of this, and God knew their vulnerabilities to turn away from him and to run after the idols of the land. Now, what I'd like to ask us this morning, in light of our resume, what are the many little g gods that we have to deal with in our land today? What are the little g gods that tempt you greatly as you go about life every day? You know, it's not an easy time as a Christian to live in this time, in this culture. And it's not because there's severe persecution. We don't really have to worry about our lives being threatened in this land thus far. But it's much more dangerous and deeper than that. How about the God of narcissism? And boy, is that ever a prevalent philosophy and really a lifestyle in our current times. And narcissism is self-love. It's self-absorption, this mentality that's all about me. And certainly the business industry feeds upon that in marketing things. You know, you deserve this. It's all about me. And what are you going to do for me? What's this world going to do for me? What's this nation going to do for me? And it's all self-centered, and it's a very, very dangerous little g God. And it's affecting the lives of many. Dare I say it's affected our lives too. It's hard not to be affected by that. And of course, then throw in materialism. We still live in one of the wealthiest places on the face of the earth, and we have virtually everything at hand. It was interesting, Lindy and I were in Denver yesterday, and there was an event going on with our family, and afterwards we decided to run over to the Park Meadows Mall, and Amazon now, they have a store. They have a physical store in the mall, and they know by orders that have come from the Denver area, they know the products that most often are ordered, and all of those things were in the store. But it's like, you know, if you have Prime, you have to wait a couple days. Amazon's saying, hey, you can come right in and have it immediately. But that's the culture that you and I live in. It's wanting things and wanting them now and having them at our disposal immediately. And there's a great blessing in that, but boy, there's a huge little G God in that too that can consume our lives. To the extent that we begin to support those kind of things and we turn away from God and support the ministry and the mission that we are really here to do as His people. And you know, here at Trinity, the offerings I'm going to share have been down. And it's a slow downward trend. And it's not because we don't have the resources. But again, we have to be ever so careful. Are we being consumed by things to the extent we'd rather have our things than to support the great work of the ministry and the spread of the gospel? Or how about the little G God of pleasure? Whether it be food or drink or sex or sports or entertainment, we're flaunted with all of those things, and billions of dollars are thrown out in all of those industries. Where is our focus? Are we all in with God, or are we all in with all these other things that are flaunted before our very eyes? And even family and friends can stand between us and God. How's your resume looking as you're ready to present it to God? And are there any little G gods that are kind of just in bold print on your resume? Of course, you didn't write them down, but God sees them as you submit it, because we can't hide anything from Him. Well, the bottom line is we're all guilty. And we know that, because as we started our worship this morning, we came with that confessing heart. We acknowledge before one another that we are sinful human beings. We are not perfect. But that seems to create a problem, doesn't it? Because God demands perfection. But that's not the rest of the only part of the story, is it? You know, look at this verse again, verse 14 of Hebrews 9. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without blemish to God, purify, there it is, purify our conscience from dead works to serving the living God. The good news is that apart from God's intervention, and the good news is God did intervene, but apart from His intervention, our works are only dead works. And we see that here, our conscience from dead works to serving the living God. And you know, a dead work is anything that is done apart from faith. A dead work is something done without faith and love, as God calls us to have that faith and to love Him and love our neighbor. And you know, the greatest dead work is works righteousness. There's the greatest one. There is the most dangerous one. And by the way, it consumes the majority of the world. Every religion has their resume concept of what this should look like, but they all believe, apart from the religion of grace, which is Christianity alone, they have a system of how to fill out your resume. For Islam, you've got all these rules you've got to follow. You've got to look at Mecca and pray so many times a day. You have to say God is great so many times a day. There's all these rigorous rules and regulations, and they better all be on your resume when you present it to God. Because if they're not, you are condemned. And you can take any religion of the world. They all have their own system, but it's the very same concept that we actually can present a resume to God that is acceptable. Oh, works righteousness will destroy us. God demands all of us. God demands all of you. He demands all of me. And then guess what God says to us? There is no one righteous, not even one. You can find that in Romans chapter 3. But that's apart from the blood of Christ that purifies us. You see, the good news today is in those words, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You see, we can never have an adequate resume. But guess who has and does? It's our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus became true man. He walked on the face of this earth without sin. And Jesus lived a perfect life that we can never even come close to living. But he actually did. He was literally all in with his heavenly Father. And then at the cross, we know about his blood, that he shed his blood that we would be purified from our imperfections. I don't know about you, but that's great news. Somebody was saying this morning as I was out there smiling, said, Pastor, how can you be so happy? Your team lost yesterday. Boy, am I reminded when the Huskers lose. And it's been going on for 20 years. But folks, that's changing. But that's another topic. But the reason I can smile is because I know God accepts me. And it's not because of my resume, but it's because of his sons. And you know that too, because you have the same resume that I do as a child of faith. Look at verse 12 of our reading this morning from Hebrews. He entered once for all. This is so beautiful. He, meaning Jesus, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. Did you hear that? Thus securing, what a beautiful word, securing an eternal redemption. Wow, those words should just be jumping off the page at us this morning. How exciting. That's the reason to wake up to a new day with a huge smile on your face, is to know that God has actually done this great work. And it's through the gift of his Son, who was perfectly obedient, all in for his heavenly Father. All in for God as true man. And Jesus also loved and loves you and me perfectly. And through this great love, through Jesus' blood, he has secured an eternal redemption. Let me ask you this. If God secures something, do you think it's secure? Yeah, he's the Almighty God. He has the last say. And it's secure, not just for a moment, but we hear the word eternity here. Eternally. And how? But by means of his own blood. Shed once. Never has to be done again. A one-time event at the cross. And what are the ramifications and the blessings? Here's what is put onto our resume. Here is the resume when it's Jesus' resume given to us to make claims for ourselves. Matthew 26, 26 to 28. The Lord's Supper, as Jesus instituted, as we hear it in these words. And look at that. Jesus says, drink of it, all of you, for this is what? My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for what? The forgiveness of sins. Through Jesus' blood, we are forgiven. Then I love Acts 20, 28, as Paul is leaving Ephesus and kind of giving some final words to the leaders of the church at Ephesus. And he shares this with them. Pay careful attention to yourselves and all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God. And then look at that, which he obtained with his own blood. And the literal for obtained is purchased. Redemption is purchased. Jesus purchased. He paid the ransom so that you and I could be in this position of being accepted by God. In 1 John 1:7, we see that the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us. All these rich words. So we have been forgiven. We have been purchased. We are cleansed. In Romans 5:9, we hear these words. You have been justified by his blood. Justified means declared not guilty. God says, I know you're not all in. I know you failed in doing that, but I declare you not guilty because I see my son in you. It's his resume that you are honored to bring to me, says God. Revelation 7:14. I said to him, sir, you know, with regards to these in the white robes, who are they? And goes on to say, they have washed their robes. These are people in heaven. These are saints, believers who now are in glory. They have washed their robes and made them white in what? The blood of the Lamb. Jesus' blood, signed, sealed, and delivered on our resume, makes us acceptable to God because he meets all that God demands. And Jesus says, here, I offer my resume to the world, and the only thing you can do is reject it. Otherwise, it's yours. And we're blessed with Christ's resume. We are purified, and as such, then, we are blessed to be in a position to serve the living God. There's not a greater honor, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, there's not a greater purpose that we could ever have than serving him. Through hearing the word, God has called us to faith. Through the waters of baptism, God has called and affirmed to us that faith. He has brought us all in, which you and I could never have done. And so now as we go to work for our Lord, we are motivated by the gospel, meaning we're not doing this to continue to add to our resume. That doesn't matter. That's already done through Jesus. But we live in God's favor and we can do it with joy. We are transformed by the gospel and we are moved to service. And it's not a burden, but it's an honor to serve the living God. And we have his word. You know, these I don't have for the screen, but you have them in your Bible. You have them in the bulletin. The Old Testament reading this morning. As God sends his people into the promised land, what does he send them in with? But his word. Hear, O Israel, I'm beginning at verse 4 of that reading from Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. And shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Do you think God takes his words seriously? Wow. And why does he send them in with such a focus on his word? Because Satan and sin, our sinful nature, are going to try to pull us away. And it's only through the power of the word that God keeps us all in. And so, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, may we take God seriously on this and understand the danger if we stray away from being in the word daily. What a blessing. Well, you know the challenges and the frustrations of trying to prepare a resume. You know the impossibility of trying to present our own resume before God and having it accepted. Now think of the majority of your neighbors, coworkers, people that you kind of rub shoulders with in the world. They're living in that world. Wouldn't be a lot to smile about waking up this morning. But we know the good news. We know that Jesus has completed the resume. And may we then, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, simply share it. In the name of our Lord Jesus, who loves us, who is all in with his love for us. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.